Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for being with us. Thank you one and all for being here. This evening here in Massachusetts in the United States, but it could be anytime, anywhere that you're listening to this, which is one of the things that's really cool about internet radio. So my guest tonight is Rebecca Gamble, who's been on before, but she's actually going to be on for a two-part visit talking about the recent trip she took to sacred sites in Central America, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about all this. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which is more my pondering a bunch of questions about what goes on in my country. We are well known for having more guns per capita in the hands of private citizens than any other country in the world. The second closest country in terms of guns per capita is Yemen. And it's almost literally one gun for every citizen, except they're owned by a relatively small group of people who own a lot of guns. And that leads to some very strange and interesting situations involving firearms where people get killed. When you combine that with certain elements in the politics of this country that happen to also be the people who are paranoid and have the guns, things get really crazy. A lot of this has to do with our history of the slavery of African slaves, the Civil War as an attempt to change that situation, and the fact that the southern United States, the slaveholding states, never really let all that go. And for a long time after the slaves were free, in many ways up to the present day, continued to do things to marginalize black people. I don't even know the proper words. What happened this week is that a young man who was involved in right-wing white supremacist politics went to an historic black church in South Carolina, church that's been, it's one of the oldest black churches. It's been involved in all kinds of major historical events. And he sat down to pray with the 8 or 9 or 10, I don't know how many people, that were there for a prayer group. And when they were finished, he went on a racist rant, pulled out a gun, and shot 8 people dead. And I don't even know. And the conversation goes totally crazy in this country. The people on the right try and steer the conversation away from firearms and racism because that's a really messy conversation and they don't want it to be true. We have a little clause in our Constitution that says, sort of says, that citizens have the right to have firearms, and they do not want that to be taken away. And the National Rifle Association, which is basically a propaganda and marketing organization for the gun lobby, does everything they can to keep people wanting guns, being paranoid, thinking they have to protect themselves, goes on and on and on. So guns are everywhere, and people who believe the paranoid stories are a pretty insular group in an echo chamber of their own story, and then they break out of it and they hurt people. And frequently the people that get hurt are black people. And in this case, I cannot imagine a more bizarre way of doing this than this 21-year-old. I have a stream of words that I want to call him, acting as if he was praying with people in their church and then killing them. I just have no way to process that. And I have less way to process the fact that some people are trying to steer the conversation away from the obvious thing that this was a hate crime and an act of a terrorist. It's going to be a very interesting period as the story unfolds and the response of the government unfolds and the response of the right-wing media unfolds, and we see how all this goes. I hope that it will be an important conversation that starts making sense out of it, and starts steering the conversation to what the real issues are. I'm trying to have this conversation on the air without ranting, but I am profoundly sad and profoundly angry that this happens in my country at all, but that it happened again, and it happened this way to people of faith in their church. I can't even put that together. I don't understand the minds that come up with that as a scenario of how to act out their hatred. I just, how do people do that? So in my work, I have been looking for the people who died and helping them, and will do what I can to move the conversation, do the spiritual work that I can to move the conversation towards something that will be useful. But please pray for not only all the people that were involved, but that in this election period in my country, that we figure something out with this. It's pretty nutty and sad. So that's tonight's whatever it was. Not the usual metaphysical musing, but it was what was going on for me. And let's have more fun than that talking to Rebecca Gamble. How are you, Rebecca?
How am I supposed to follow that exactly?
Well, you're supposed to ignore it. It's just me ranting about, you know, basically what's going on in the news. And
But actually, you know, it ties in pretty beautifully with some of the things that happened in Peru. Funny enough.
Well, and you can tell us about that. I want people to know Rebecca's been on the show before. She's an incredible shaman. We've become good friends. Have never met, but have become good friends, supporting each other online. And I have tremendous respect for the way you approach things, and also for what you've learned along the way in your walkabout, because you had profound, complicated health issues that led you on the path of learning all the things you've learned. And now you share that with people and do some amazing work. So, you know, I love that I can hang out with you. And you went to amazing places, so you have a great story.
I did. Oh, my gosh. I can't. I'm still processing. It's been a couple weeks, and I'm still. My guide kept telling me, you know, think of this trip as a buffet. Just gorge yourself. He's like, worry about processing it later, is what he kept telling me. He's like, you're here. Get as much as you can, and then go home and process. And I still am. That's fantastic.
So I know that you went to Peru. But that's okay. Basically as much as I know about the,
okay,
about so the itinerary.
A lot of my training was in Northern Native American traditions, specifically a Cherokee tradition in which once a person dies, you don't say their name, is the tradition. Now, the struggle here is I am not Cherokee. I refer to myself as Wonder Bread White, and everybody gets a laugh out of it. But because of that, it's not like you get a piece of paper that says you have this training or whatever. What I wanted to do was have some training that was more easily confirmed for some of my followers, to see that, yes, I was in fact trained properly. And I had been getting the nudges to go to Peru for a while. I had also been trained in some very basic tradition from down there, and also in some Irish tradition. And I had I have ancestry with one of the Irish traditions and a Welsh tradition. And I was sitting with this and talking to God over it, using God very loosely here, talking to the other, and just saying, I don't know what you want me to do. I need to go to Peru. I need to go to Ireland. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And as I'm praying this, I get an email, because that's how it works. I get an email, and it was an invite to this, to being trained with two practitioners, one from Ireland and one from Peru, in Peru and then in Ireland. Right? Because that's how our lives are.
Right.
So right.
For the people who don't have a life like that, this is really how it happens.
This is actually how it happens. So I was like, I don't know what to do. I can't afford any of this. I talked to my husband. He said, we'll take out a loan. We'll do whatever we got to do. You got an answer to a prayer and you got to follow it. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. How are we going to make this happen? So I didn't even look at the itinerary. I got to Peru. I knew I was going to be trained and I was going to meet this guy. And I had no idea what was going on. Seriously. It's just when you get a direct, do this, you do it. You don't ask these questions.
Right.
So I went to Peru. It was, and funny enough, Peru is one of those countries that for some reason I really never wanted to go to ever. Which is a sure sign that there's something there for you to learn. And it really did totally,
right,
totally revolutionize my life. Totally changed everything for me. But I was there from May 16th through May 30th. And I'm not sure where to start. You just want me to go through the things that we did, or?
Well, we've already realized that this is going to be more than a one-show conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and it feels like that there's part of the story that's more concrete. Like, where'd you go? Who'd
right.
you meet? What'd you do? And
right.
then there's the part of the conversation which is the more personal and spiritual. How did it affect you?
Right. Right. So, and honestly, I think some of the ceremonies that we'll talk about in the second half, I'm thinking, are were very profound. And I'll probably only get through maybe two of them because of how much it changed me.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. So a little more concrete this time. So we arrived in Lima. It didn't occur to me that I didn't speak the native language until I got there. I really wish I had had time to take a class or something. That would have been really helpful. So I got in Peru. I didn't know anyone. I had never met my teacher before. I had never met the guide that was supposed to pick me up. And I don't speak Spanish whatsoever, which that will change. but I eventually got to Lima. And we spent a day there settling in and getting the group together. There was me and two other students and my teacher, and that was it. It was very small and very intimate and really wonderful that way. And then the next day we went to Cusco. And that was profound. We got there in the evening. I started having experiences right away. It turns out the three primary guides that I mentioned the last time I talked to you on the air, guard one of the mountains, and mm-hmm. they found me. So life got interesting very quickly. But I woke up the next morning, and it was a Sunday, and my teacher had said, go to a good mass in this area, and then I will see you after that. He said, I'll see you around 10:30 in the morning. So I went to mass. I came back. I had almost hit the pillow when I heard this sound, this really strange sound. I was like, what on earth? And I got up, ran to the balcony, and there's this huge parade filling the street coming down the street. And it came in waves. I took multiple videos, lots of pictures. It turned out it was the beginning of one of their festivals where they have a pilgrimage up to the glaciers. And it's this really beautiful cleansing festival. Also very intense because some people die on the glacier going up there. So there's this, I have no idea what's going on. There's this noise and it's just going on for hours and it's coming in waves. And every time I think the parades are over, they're not. And lots of dancing. There's people carrying animals. There were men carrying these little dolls on their hips. And I was like, what on earth is that? And later I found out it was representations of their children and their families. Mm. So that if they didn't return, they could still take the energy of their families with them to the mountain. Mm. Not to go straight into the heavy. There were also these men all in black. The costumes were just so incredible. And I posted on the event pages some of the pictures from some of these. In all of Peru, you see these pictures of people in traditional dress. You think they're just for postcards, but it's not. It's everywhere all the time. People are just in all these colors, these beautiful costumes. But these people were dressed according to the stories they represent and according to the areas they came from, had different colors they wore. And then there were these fellows dressed in black. And later it was explained to me, these were like kind of like the police in the group. Mm. And they would carry whips, and they were whipping the different people, which was their way of supporting each other and purifying each other. Their way of breaking out all of the things in you that you need to let go of, that you need to be purified of. So it was a way of supporting each other. so that was pretty wild. And I got stuck in parades regularly when I was in Cusco. I would be like walking to the market or something, and all of a sudden I was in the middle of a parade and I was surrounded by priests and I didn't know what was happening. so I have videos from inside parades I didn't know were about to happen. so then I went down, had breakfast, and I was already having all these experiences. I really wanted to give something. So I had brought my tarot deck with me, the Herbal Tarot. And I was doing readings in the hotel. And I ended up in two different people's photos that day, because what happened was some of the people who wanted readings, because it's a totally different culture down there, they're very accepting of everything we do. They look for signs of you being what you are, and you're just asked to do things everywhere all the time. It's beautiful. Here I am. I just sat down at a table, put the cards there, and people who do not speak English wanted readings. So it was hilarious. I probably looked like I was doing the Macarena on drugs. I was trying to sign these different readings to people. It was ridiculous. And people were taking pictures. And then when I went out and I was dancing on the balcony with the parades, there were people from other balconies. There were other tourists taking pictures of me on my balcony. So, yeah, it was a good morning.
I wonder who they thought you were.
I don't know. I became part of people's experience in Peru a number of times. It was really hilarious. So that was the morning. Then my guide showed up and we started the day. We went to the market. He showed us all the different kinds of food. Potatoes originated in that area. Mm-hmm. And there's literally thousands of different kinds of potatoes, and I was determined to try them all, and I just might have gotten pretty close while I was down there. so we went through the market. What was really beautiful about the way they did their market was there were people with piles of herbs, and you could go up and say, you know, I have this health problem, and they would just mix you up something for you right there. You know, you didn't have mm-hmm. to go to the doctor first. You could just go to the market. You could get your groceries. There are places to sit and have food for lunch, and then you could go and get your little herbal, whatever it was you needed. And then if you knew what you were looking at, there would be these little markers up, and you could find ceremonial objects a couple stands later, you know, and people sewing costumes for the festival right there, and you could get your costume. And it was noisy and beautiful and wonderful. also the way that they worked sacred creatures into everything was amazing. The whole city, Cusco is laid out as a puma. The city is actually laid out as a puma. And if you look on the ground, you'll see parts of the puma in the ground with an arrow. You can find your directions and where you want to go according to the parts of the puma.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty exciting. we went to, there's a chocolate museum, which the tea was amazing. The tea in this place in Peru is just fantastic. And then we went to the first temple at Coricancha, which in Susquehanna, we did both of those temples that day. I don't even know how to tell you. Coricancha has both a temple to the moon and a temple to the sun, which, of course, is the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine. And you'll love this. The sacred masculine is of the temple is, as the city is laid out as the puma, it's the male genitalia, the tip of it of the puma.
Of course.
Because it's the sacred masculine. Why not, you know? So that's the temple of the sun. But there was just the way these buildings were built, the way the ancients used their stonework was just fantastic. There's one block in that temple where it has 14 corners. And right? and my guide said the only way they could have done that was if they had liquefied the stone and turned and put it into a mold. I suppose that's up for debate how people think of things, but this block was huge and I just couldn't imagine. And so precise, and I couldn't imagine how they could have done the precision with the stonework. And all through the city, when the Incas were conquered, their buildings were taken apart and their temples were taken apart to build other buildings. So you could see how a lot of the buildings had their beautiful, precise stonework and then modern stonework that frankly looked like crap beside that. I'm like, you know, we've really de-evolved on this one. And there's also in between the Temple of the Moon, the Temple of the Sun, is the Temple of the Stars, which was really the energy. The energy was just something special, really. And there's a story in that area where there are spaces for offerings that's just above. Like if you stand there and you reach all the way up, just where your fingers touch, the spaces for offering is right above that. And the reason is that everything above where man can touch belongs to the spirits, belongs to, you know. but they also have this beautiful story where the Spanish come and demand all the gold, and they say, okay, we'll give you the gold, but only as high up as the tallest man can touch, you know, because everything above that is not ours to give you. Mm-hmm. So they would bring in the gold into this area and fill the room, but only up to that point. And then when the Spanish had moved the gold out, then they would fill it up again. And the Temple of the Moon. Now, this was funny. The Temple of the Moon, the doorway is there, and they haven't fully excavated the Temple of the Moon. Supposedly, there's another several layers down that they could go, and they believe there are artifacts there. They're pulsing energy outward, which, for you and me, you know, I could feel it. I think you probably could have felt it. The feeling that washed over you just being there without anyone telling you what it was. The peace and the cooling and the centering and just everything felt balanced in that space. I heard a couple people, different people saying this. But what was interesting was they had built a church right beside that doorway, and you could stand in the doorway and look to your left, and there was the pathway that went to the Temple of the Sun and all these ancient, beautiful things, and you could look to your right, and that was, you know, you're seeing paintings of saints and things like that.
the crossroads of cultures. Hey, we're going to have to take a break. I want to make sure that people know where to find you, and we'll pick up the story when we get back. What's your web address?
I'm at RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com.
How clever. And spell Rebecca and Gamble for them, because it's...
It's Hebrew in English. It's R-E-B-E-K-A-H-G-A-M-B-L-E.
Fantastic. We will be back with more from Rebecca Gamble as after a few messages here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. There's more.
Styling your hair every day, and do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's
great. Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment, and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Rebecca Gamble telling the incredible story of her adventures in Peru. And when last seen, our heroine was at that amazing place where you could be in a Catholic church looking at an Inca temple. That's so mind-boggling.
You know what? It was actually pretty typical down there. There's this beautiful rendition of Mother Mary that you only see in that area. What happened was the Spanish came with their ideas of Mary,
right,
and presented them to these people, and they said, oh, we know who this is. This is Mother Earth. So what they did was they made her shape like a mountain.
Yep.
So there's beautiful paintings of Mary as a mountain, and it's not thought of as wrong to do both down there, which was really interesting. Of course, there are exceptions, but there were a lot of people that had no problem celebrating Jesus while they were going up a mountain to worship the earth. That was really interesting how they combined the traditions. So I'm in this temple. There were fantastic things in this temple, but the one thing I really wanted to mention was there's a gold, I'm not even sure what you would call it, like a carving, but with gold over it, that depicts the traditional belief of what home is. And it has the spiritual energies, it has the animals, it has the people all living together, perfectly balanced. And the idea is that harmony is what home is. You know, and I thought that is something so beautiful and something that a thought that we could really use here in the West, that by creating harmony, you can feel the security of being home. And the culture down there, you would be driving down the street and there's animals running around on the sides of the street and walking down the street in a narrower area. And here's the merchant, and you've got to move the llama out of the way if you want to see his stuff. And it sounds like it would be crazy, dirty, and horrible, but it isn't. The people are really in balance with their food and their creatures and their family and their earth, and it's just really beautiful. But this idea that we have here where home is my space, the place that I have and I make it just how I want it, and then you have all these people who are very confused and imbalanced, you know, and attached to material things and get lost so easily because they've made their home just one little place.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to be working with that concept some more. We also saw around that same time, we went to because my teacher made a point of helping us see the culture and how the culture related to the practice, and also understanding how those people live, which of course that's important. I mean, shamanic practices and wisdom teachings and all that really rises out of the earth and the culture where it's from, which is why it's so important to understand where you are as well as what you're doing. So we got to go to the silver factory, which was incredible because they had these beautiful murals up where the people were working, and it was like Jesus with a bunch of UFOs around him.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to leave that there, but you know. But I was just like, you know, you're sitting here doing your silver work looking up and there's Jesus with some UFOs. And it's just, it's great.
Well, you know, Ezekiel saw a wheel within a wheel. Like,
Right. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
So I will get to Bolivia in a second. I'll just tell you about Bolivia because I think you'll find it very interesting. But while we were this same day, before I totally lose my thought, this same day after the silver place, we went to, we saw an animal sanctuary, learned a lot about how the different animals related, got to see some of the animals that we were learning about in the practice, and got to understand how they lived and how they, how to tell the differences between them by looking at them and things like that, meeting them up close, which was really enjoyable. It was a family-run animal rescue sanctuary, which was fantastic. Fantastic.
Wow.
And then we headed to Coricancha. No, we did Coricancha already, and then we went to Susquehannon, which is the energy of the Puma and the labyrinth inside the mind. As a giant temple made out of stone, it was amazing. Now, I have to clarify something about the Puma. In the teachings in this area, they talk about three different Puma. there's the black puma, which is kept under the earth and has to do with the really deep mysteries, the heavy mother, the dark mother stuff. And then you have, depending on which person you talk to, I noticed some say it was orange and some people say it was yellow, but this more lighter colored puma. And that's like the body, the middle path, the place where we are. Mm-hmm. Then there was the white puma from the glaciers, which was, you know, the sky consciousness and things we don't understand and that sort of thing. But the puma in general is thought of as like the body and the soul. So the primary three animals that we worked with as sacred animals were the puma, the llama, who was the labor of love, and the condor, which represents that which we don't understand, that which we don't yet know. So like scientific studies and scientific understanding was working with condor and things like that. So when we went to Susquehannon, it was, I don't even tell you. There are places where you can sit on the stone and the spirits will change who and what you are. And it's incredible. I went down there with the intention that I wanted to be deepened. I want to have better understanding as well as having training that could be more easily verified. I wanted to be deepened. I wanted to understand my soul and my body consciousness better. And so I sat on this stone and the guides there in the stone deepened my energy system and really pulled the energy cords down into my body. With all my sicknesses when I was young, I didn't develop the energy in my body. And I didn't really have the connection or even the ability to develop that. And that was where it was like having cords of light taken out of my body and ripped until they were longer and deeper and more solid. And that really set the work for everything else that happened with deepening me and getting me to really walk my path more truly, which happened over the whole trip. But, and some of it was terrifying. This place was both delightful and terrifying, truly. There's these long caves underground, tunnels, really, that connect the temples in the different cities that you can go for miles and miles and miles in. And of course, it's pitch black. But you go down into one of these, and it was kind of funny, actually. My teacher said, you know, put your left hand against the wall and protect your head with the right hand. He's like, don't switch hands. If you switch hands, you'll follow the other wall. And I don't know where that tunnel goes. We're like, okay. But you go in there and you're in darkness so deep, it's alive. It eats you. And at one point, I started to feel a little bit overwhelmed by being that deep in the ground. It really isn't even that deep. It's just so dark. And when I get like that, especially when I'm going through caves or things like that, I close my eyes to recenter because, of course, it's always dark in there. But I closed my eyes and realized it wasn't as dark behind my eyes as it was with the mountain.
Yikes.
I was so grateful to see the light again. But it was also a lot of fun at this temple because they had these giant slides in the stone that we got to slide down. We had to climb up and slide down. You could get from one level to another literally by sliding there. there were also things that were explained to us later. There were staircases that went in both directions. There were mirror staircases. You know, here's one staircase you're walking down and one staircase built above your head that goes in the exact opposite direction, how to use the second set of stairs. And he'd be like, he would ask these questions and then he just wouldn't tell us. He'd let us play with this. And they'd tell us, you know, days later, as it is, you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course they don't tell you. Ruin the whole experience.
Oh, of course. And they also had the stone were set up so that they represented the mother and the sacred masculine. And what was beautiful about this was, you know, the giant Jesus in Brazil that gets photographed often.
Mm-hmm.
It's a set, there's more than one, and one of them happens to be in Peru. So I tried really hard to get a picture of this, and I couldn't get them both in the camera. Someone was offended, and I don't know which one. But there was the Sacred Father Stone. There's, you know, the giant phallus coming out of the ground. And right behind it was Jesus. It was this giant Jesus. And I tried so hard. And in the meantime, as I'm looking over this, we had this storm roll in, and it was literally a wall of black clouds coming towards Jesus with his arms open wide to receive it. And I was trying so hard to get them both in the picture, but they did not want to be photographed together. And I'm not sure which one felt that way. There was also a lot of snake medicine there at that temple, which has to do with insight and sacred understanding, things like that. I can't even tell you. I would talk for hours on each one of these temples, and I could. We found that out at a recent gathering, and I think as I present these around here, we might actually just have one temple per presentation. We also got to see the pottery being made as we headed into the Sacred Valley, which is amazing. You know, when you farm land, depending on which crops you're doing, every 3 or 4 years you let the ground rest. Mm-hmm. This land in the Sacred Valley is so fertile. It's been in continuous usage since the Incans, and it has never rested, and it's still producing all this beautiful food. So we headed into the Sacred Valley to see Peace Back and all of that. And we started working with the Condor, and I can't remember exactly which day it was. We had a bit of a disruption. My teacher's family had a bit of a medical emergency, and we had a day off to explore. Now, here's the funny thing. We were still in Cusco when we had the day off. Here's the funny thing. I had been exploring like the night before, and I met this man who his family has the ayahuasca tradition. And I felt the need to go down this scary, cramped, dark alleyway. And I couldn't shake it, so I go down this alleyway, and this man comes out of the side of the wall, and he's just like, "I've been waiting for you." And I was like, "You speak English? I'm so happy." But it turned out his family does the ayahuasca tradition. He also makes, his particular role is only making sacred instruments. So I ended up in this stall with a bunch of people, and he was the only one that spoke English. And they were teaching me how to play these different instruments. And I really wanted to buy a drum, but I was like, no. You just bought a drum last month. And I told myself no. And then I went back to the hotel, and my teacher had this emergency with his family. So we had a day off. So the first thing I did was I went back to the fellow, and I said, "I need to buy that drum."
Uh-huh.
And we spent the day doing ceremony and healings and getting to know each other, the other two students and myself. And it was a beautiful experience, and we learned a lot in that day. So I am planning to take a group out probably next fall, not fall of 2015, but fall of 2016. And we're looking to see if we can actually have the two teachers work together to create one beautiful trip. Work with the ayahuasca teacher either before or after we work with Jamie, who was my teacher, and see how we can actually have more aspects of the culture down there. People talk about ayahuasca so much, but they don't understand it's only one of four sacred medicines down there. Mm-hmm. Wachuma, one of the other ones, is Jamie works with Wachuma, and that's ayahuasca is like for your head, helps you with mental things and perception and things like this, and it's beautiful and it's powerful. Wachuma is more for the heart and works with your emotions. It really, really opens you very deeply. And a lot of Jamie's teaching has to do with working with the heart and coming from that aspect. Mm. So it would just be beautiful to do two of them together and get the more full spectrum understanding.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about what you experienced with that in part two. in a couple of weeks.
Part 2. Yes. I cannot wait to tell you about that. Anyway, okay. So, yeah. But I'm going to.
Yeah,
so
there is so much stuff thrown around about ayahuasca. And I'm wary of it unless it's being done by someone from the tradition in the right place,
right?
With the right support, because it's not something to play with.
None of them are. The correct respect for the plant. I am deeply disturbed when I see people who don't even take time to get to know the plant first. I have a few colleagues here who went down just to do ayahuasca, but their journey involved, they spent some time in the jungle talking to the plant, getting to know the plant, preparing the medicine themselves. There was a great deal of respect and just it being done the right way. Now, right. At one point in Peru, I think I was back in Cusco at this point, I got lost somewhere and it turned into this crazy artsy town with lots of college kids. And there were signs out where you could just get ayahuasca or huachuma or whatever you wanted. You know, mm-hmm. There were signs that said ayahuasca ceremony, 7 p.m. tonight, so much money. And you could just go in the room and do this. And it just struck me as a complete lack of understanding of how beautiful our plant family really is.
Yeah, a way to get high and a way for the local people to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, I mean, with these plants, very dangerous.
Yeah.
but also very disrespectful. It's sad because then these people think they've taken ayahuasca or they think they've taken huachuma, but they haven't. They've taken a drug and they don't understand the experience at all. They have some crazy trip with no direction and no understanding, and they think they've had their experience, but they're really losing out on something much more beautiful and deeper.
And hopefully they don't get hurt by being in a space that isn't ritually protected with people that know what they're doing.
Which happens. You know, some people take some of these. When I took huachuma, when I was in one of the areas down there, as it ripped through my body, I could not walk for a while. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people going through that with ayahuasca. Now, for me, that was important. It was cleansing me. It was rebuilding my body. In certain ways. But I've heard people having that experience with ayahuasca too. And that's lovely as long as you come out of it. But what if you don't? And now your teacher's not trained, really? Is that a position you want to be in?
It's a local guy who gets it from his uncle.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, so I'm going to put the soapbox away because I'll go on about plants forever. You know how I am.
We've got a few more minutes, so you went through a whole bunch of places in Peru and some amazing temples and walked around underground. And
and honestly, I took you through day 1, 2, and 3 just now. I mean, this trip was incredible. We could talk for days about it. And we did Machu Picchu, and we didn't do the whole 4-day Incan Trail. But we did do part of the Incan Trail, which was optional. Perry, one of the other students there, had one of those things on his wrist that told him just how much he walked. We did 14 kilometers of stairs the day we did Machu Picchu.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell everyone I know I did 14 kilometers of stairs.
Little did they know. Who they were dealing with.
We did Lake Titicaca, and we did the Temple of the Llama, which was an incredible experience. I can't even express to you. And the things that I learned through experiencing the healing down there and experiencing the ceremonies and the rituals and even the coca divination, I got to really get to know coca as a plant. She sort of arrived the first night I was there, and I was like, what plant is this? And my teacher was like, here's some leaves. You need to work with these. You know, beginning to know her and just how mothering that plant is and how beautiful. And I'm sure people experience plants differently, but that was my experience with that plant. And all the apus and getting to know the mountains and how the mountains heal people, because you sit there and you talk to them, and how they change you and how they heal you. Now, the last 2 days I was in Peru, we did have rioting and protests and things like that. So the last 2 days of the trip were kind of a wash. We didn't get to do the things we wanted to do. And a lot of that had to do with foreign companies from Canada and America that want to come in and mine these beautiful mountains and poison the water is one of the side effects, and then not even support the communities, which is very sad. But once you're there, you can't even imagine it being destroyed like that. Can't even comprehend.
Well, it's being done all over the world, and I'm glad that they are protesting and pushing back down there. A lot of the Central American countries, they've so far been able to keep that stuff from happening.
So. Well, you need to understand, too, in Peru, if you're not married, you can't vote. You have to be married to vote. Yeah, because they want to promote families. So, you know, you have these people who can't even have a say in their government, and then having these companies come in that you can't fight any other way, you have to protest. That's right. How people hear you and how you make a difference, which was phenomenal. The people and their spirit. There would be, most of the protesters were women, and some of them, I remember at one point, this woman was nursing her child on one breast, holding her baby with one arm and taking a whip out of her back pocket to get my teacher to tell her to go away. And she's like whipping at him, like going to whip at him and whipping at some of the other men while she's breastfeeding. <It's> like, where am I right now?
Right. What just happened? Well, right. As we expected, we could just keep talking, and we're running out of time. So I'm very glad that we already have the part two of this scheduled for 2 weeks from now. And we will focus on more of your experience in the ceremonies and the healing that went on, which I'm also really excited to hear about. So thank you so much for being on the show. Tell us again your web address.
The website is Rebecca Gamble, holisticpractitioner.com. It's RebeKahGamble. I have another book coming out this fall again. And I'm looking to take a group to Peru probably next year. So that's very exciting for me. I'm feeling very blessed lately.
Fantastic. And you're also on Facebook, and it's a good place for people to plug in and keep track of all the different things you're doing. My guest tonight has been Rebecca Gamble. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is so much fun. And thank you for sharing all your adventures.
And thanks for having me.
And if you guys happen to be curious about this strange guy, David, and what does he do? You can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is all kinds of ways of getting in touch with me, including my scheduling link. I do a free 20-minute assessment of whatever's going on with a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and we can take a look at how my work might be helpful. If you want more about the show, go to thefarkasfiles.com. We've been doing this for 4.5 years, so there are hundreds of amazing interviews with incredible people. So please take advantage of that. And if you want, you can also listen to not only my show, but everything on Empower Radio is available on iTunes Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, and there's one more, but I'm forgetting. Almost all of the streaming media. So you can, iHeartRadio. That's the other one. You can go to almost any streaming media site and put in a power radio, and 24/7 there are shows like the Farkas Files that have a positive message and will give you all kinds of fascinating information. Farkas Files is on every night at 9 p.m. with the new live show recorded on Thursdays. So take advantage of that. And it's so exciting to know that there are so many of you out there doing that. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.